President Obiang acknowledged fathering 42 children. Of these, two sons, Teodorin, little Theodore, and Gabriel, wielded the most influence by 2009. They had different mothers. Teodorin's, who was referred to as Obiang's church or formal wife, belonged to an Equatoguinean family that had risen alongside the president during the early oil era, grabbing up land and businesses. Gabriel's mother came from the tiny neighboring island nation of Sao Tome. She suffered from the lack of prestige that arose from being a foreigner. By kinship and political tradition, Teodorin, therefore, was the son who had the most natural claim to succeed his father as president, should his father's health ever falter. The heir showed little interest in education or government work, however. Gabriel, on the other hand, had returned from college in the United States as a well-spoken, serious young man, adept at PowerPoint presentations and the vernacular of international oil and gas deals. He told oil industry representatives that he had been influenced, in thinking about Equatorial Guinea's future, by the American film Field of Dreams and its spiritual catchphrase, "If you build it, he will come." Gabriel hoped to construct an oil-led development strategy that would help the country develop a technically competent middle class and a more diverse economy akin to Singapore's. ExxonMobil's, Marathon's, and Hess's representatives fantasized that Gabriel might emerge as Obiang's successor as president and lead a final drive toward modernization, protecting their heavy investments along the way. But Gabriel lacked the Fang clan base necessary to secure his rise in traditional politics. As one student of the country and the region put it coldly, after President Obiang's death, Gabriel was more likely to be assassinated than promoted. That left Teodorin, the first son, who had been born on June 26, 1969. As he entered middle age, he was a broad-shouldered man with dark chocolate skin and puffy cheeks, who had developed a taste for luxury goods and properties. Before oil, Equatorial Guinea's most lucrative resource was the lumber in its jungle forests. Teodorin's mother secured an appointment for her son as Minister of Agriculture and Forestry. In that capacity, he told American officials, he was granted a concession to sell timber. During the 1990s, a Malaysian contractor retained by Teodorin brought in 40 teams of lumberjacks who clear-cut and shipped out whole logs to Asian markets, leaving the minister with a multi-million dollar grubstake while he was still in his 20s. Later, his family's access to Equatorial Guinea's oil wealth evidently enriched him further, although despite the transparency initiative, Obiang never made clear exactly how he allocated national revenues to Teodorin or other family members. What seemed plain was that as he neared middle age, Teodorin had easy access to many tens of millions of dollars. He began to travel and to spend. By 2007, according to investigations by the U.S. Immigration and Customs Enforcement Division and French police, Teodorin's international property holdings included two luxury speedboats, a Gulfstream V private jet valued at $38.5 million, and a collection of almost three dozen luxury cars, including two $1.5 million Bugatti Veyrons, a $990,000 Maserati MC12, a $530,000 Rolls-Royce Phantom, a $256,000 Ferrari 512M, a $213,000 Ferrari 550 Maranello, and a $115,000 Maserati Coupe F1. When American investigators came into possession of a check register from one of Teodorin's California companies, Beautiful Vision Incorporated, they encountered the following list of expenditures for a single month: $82,900 to Norel for furniture, $137,313 to Ferrari of Beverly Hills, $63,326 to the Soufre Gallery for a carpet, another $332,243 to Ferrari of Beverly Hills, $51,288 to Dolce & Gabbana, $121,977 to Fields Piano, another $50,000 to Ferrari of Beverly Hills, another $59,850 to the Soufre Gallery, $280,409 to Autostar Signature for another Ferrari, $338,523 to Lamborghini Beverly Hills, and $181,265 to Global Jet Corporation. Teodorin moved in and out of the United States on an A-1 diplomatic visa, often carrying more than $1 million in cash, which he routinely failed to declare to U.S. customs officers as required by law, according to the ICE investigators. Los Angeles and New York were among his favored destinations. At one stage, Teodorin set up a record company in Los Angeles specializing in rap and hip-hop music, and for a while he traveled in the company of the glamorous rapper Eve. His spending and his migration into the hip-hop business suggested an air of danger and urban sophistication, but in person, he could just as often come across as unworldly. He showed up in my office with his entourage, 4 or 5 people, all from Equatorial Guinea, recalled an attorney in Los Angeles who worked with him. His English wasn't very good. He had other people who would do the language for him. He was willing to pay whatever was required. He would ask, "How much do you want?" And the check was right there. Teodorin could be enthusiastic about laying out money for a new purchase or project, but his managerial follow-up was often lacking. Unpaid bills and civil lawsuits accumulated in Los Angeles County civil courts. Teodorin relied on American lawyers, real estate agents, personal assistants, bankers, bodyguards, and freelance fixers and hangers-on to manage his bills and his chaotic consumer habits. His American advisors took note that the luxury automobiles abandoned in Teodorin's California garage would by themselves finance a respectable hospital back home. It was not unusual for Teodorin to lose track of his cars. In one case, he asked an advisor to fly across the country to Los Angeles to move one of them from a parking garage where he had absentmindedly abandoned it. Former assistants filed lawsuits in Santa Monica Civil Court alleging that Teodorin failed to pay overtime as required by California law. The defendant often missed court appearances and depositions. After the failed coup attempt led by Simon Mann, Teodorin turned up at the Beverly Wilshire Hotel to do some house hunting. Through one of his Los Angeles attorneys, he summoned a Hollywood Hills real estate agent, Neil Badden, to his suite. Badden thought Teodorin seemed bigger than life. Badden agreed to serve as his real estate agent, and over the next 17 months, he helped negotiate the purchase of a $30 million Mediterranean estate on a 50-foot bluff overlooking the Pacific Ocean in Malibu. Teodorin's neighbors in the gated community included James Cameron, the director of Titanic and Avatar, and the comedian Dick Van Dyke.